This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming your way this hour, Chris Curtis and Sarah Kaufman of the Pro Fight League will join us after they were big winners in week number one, heading into week number two. Also, we've got your best audio of the day, including an MLB announcer and former legendary hockey voice. His spirit and will broken because of a rash of home runs against the team that he was calling games for. That's coming up this morning on the show in this hour at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Twitter DA on CBS. I ended the last hour talking about last night's All in the Family and Jefferson's live shows, and that Jack Kane made a performance, an appearance, and that I decided at this point in time to make sure that I extended the olive branch. I don't know if she'll take it, but I wanted to make sure I did my part. It was good to have her on my TV screen again. And so I extended the olive branch on Twitter. I mentioned her because what I said was to myself, being in petty beefs with celebrities, I need to rise above that. I need to not be petty. I need to make sure I put my best foot forward, okay? I don't want that to be my legacy, petty beefs with pseudo-celebrities. So I tweeted at the official Jack K account that I apologize for what had happened in the past, that I appreciated her performance last night. It was great to have her back on the TV. I thought she was great. And that I said, it's time for Jack Kay and her fan club and the D'Aliens and me to come together. Because I believe in unity, unification, mutual respect in this day and age where there's just not enough of it. She has not responded yet. This stems from the overnight days where just offhandedly, I had called Jack Kay a C-list celebrity, and her fan club came after me. I mean, really aggressively destroyed me and picked me apart. And then we reached out to Jack Kay's official website and publicist to have her on the show, and she, the publicist, very tersely declined, saying, we've got no time for this. She's very, very busy. Meantime, I didn't see something that she had been in for 5 years prior to that and 5 years after that.
Do you think it's possible we misunderstood that maybe the publicist was too busy with having to deal with anything for Jack A, who might be, I don't know, her 30th on her roster?
I don't think so, only because didn't her publicist specifically cite a TV show we had never heard of and said it was in its sixth season and that there are 100 episodes in and we looked it up and couldn't find it? Remember that?
That's a good point. That might have been like Netflix before Netflix was popular kind of deal.
Perhaps. But I did want it on record, and I wanted her to know, no hard feelings here. I don't even mind that her very vicious fan club came after me and attacked me during our very sensitive and vulnerable overnight days.
Yeah. I mean, it's just good to know that you appreciated her performance last night.
I did. No, I really did. I thought she did a good job. No place like home. With your family around you, you're never alone. There's no need to roam. Place like home. Now, this is the 227 theme song. Every day, get by with those same old ways. Uh-huh. We'll make it right. There's no we can find. No place like home. With your family around you, you're never alone. There's no need to roam. Ain't no place like. There ain't no place like. Better believe it. Ain't no place like. There's no place like home. There ain't no place, child. That was awesome. I love 227, especially the episode where they got trapped in the toy store with Pee-wee Herman because there was a robbery. Absolutely loved that episode. Jack Kay was phenomenal. Really phenomenal.
That was an episode?
Yes, it was. Yes, it absolutely was. So I wanted to bury the hatchet here with Jack Kay because also I was involved in yet another beef on Twitter. I don't know what is happening with Odell last week. And I had only mentioned, it's almost like I get in trouble for things I'm not even intentionally trying to stir the pot with. Last week, after we had on our friends from the Pizza and Chill podcast, the highly acclaimed Pizza and Chill podcast featuring Lisa Ramos and Camille Fischel, they had spoken about the Met Gala, and Camille had said she had spoken to somebody she knows who was at the Met Gala, and she had heard from her friend or her acquaintance that Odell was embarrassed about the kilt that he wore. And I simply tweeted the quote to the story because we had our digital team write that up. They found this interesting. Wow, Odell was embarrassed about his kilt. You know, it's Met Gala stuff, big click stuff. So I simply link to this, and wouldn't you know, Odell immediately fires back. Immediately. Again, I'm not saying Odell was embarrassed. I'm just citing somebody who said Odell was embarrassed, and here's the link. Odell subtweets me and says, boy, you way off with four Ys on way. Four, way off. Three, not one, not two, but three crying laughing emojis. So he's really laughing so hard he's crying three times over. Other way around. Didn't want to wear it at first. Then no chance I wasn't going to wear it. My confidence way too high. Which interestingly, he put four Ys on way and only one O on two. So, way too high. Almost like, wait a minute. So, yeah, way too high. So I never questioned Odell's confidence at all, but clearly he did. He thought that I did. And I think it's kind of interesting. He admitted at first he didn't want to wear the kilt. So there was at least an element of this that he was embarrassed by, which I have to say, Mraz, feels to me like a smoking gun. Because his defense of my claim was, yeah, I was embarrassed by it, but then I realized I had to wear it because my confidence is so high. I got to say, this feels like an 8-year-old telling me why he didn't steal the cookie. I feel like, honestly, Odell, we poked at a vulnerability there, an insecurity there, because why else would he respond to this tweet?
Also, what he's saying is exactly what you tweeted.
Well, not exactly.
Well, pretty much. She said that he was having his doubts, and he's telling you that he had his doubts in there, but just tried to defend it. So I don't even think Odell could keep track. And very clearly, by the way, he didn't even click to read or watch the video.
Well, that, who does?
Because he's just looking at you and basically calling you the boy who doesn't understand what's going on when all you doing was relaying a message that was said on this show, not by you.
All me doing is replaying a message.
Is that what I said? All you doing?
Now we're talking like Odell. Boy, you way off. My confidence is way too high.
Odell does spell like me, so I'll give him that much.
So I just want to get out of the industry of petty beefs with celebrities on Twitter. I don't want to be in that industry. That's not a good industry to be in.
I think that's fair, but you also were trying to start a petty beef with Jacob Wilkins yesterday, wondering if he hijacked or pirated the show.
Well, it wasn't a petty beef. No, that was a concern. That was a legitimate concern of mine, wondering if he had pirated our radio show for his own gain, and we found out he didn't. We found out in, I don't know what league that is, but AA league that involved the Binghamton Rumble Ponies and the Bowie Bay Sox.
The Northeast Atlantic League?
That they do start games at 10:30 in the morning for school days. Which I never saw that one coming.
Never found out who won the science fair either.
No, I would like to. The scientists definitely won, yes. The budding scientists. Can I talk about Dan Gilbert for a second here? Dan Gilbert spoke to Terry Pluto of the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. He said a couple of things that kind of made national news here. And one of which was, I think, delusional when he talked about the trade of Kyrie Irving. When Kyrie demanded a trade following the 2017 playoffs, Dan Gilbert, owner of the Cavaliers, said, it became a melting snowball. We had to trade him when we did. What team would want Kyrie with only 1 year on his contract, knowing he could leave after the season? You won't get much back. The agent was telling us if we don't trade him, there's some surgery he's on the borderline of having on his knee. It was possible he could be out most of the year. It turned out to be true, as Kyrie missed the playoffs 2 years ago, remember, really. A calendar year ago, the 2018 playoffs, because of the knee surgeries. Gilbert said, I don't know, but I think Kyrie will leave Boston anyway. We could have ended up with nothing. Looking back after all of the moves Kobe made, we killed it in that trade. But I think killing it is a slight overstatement there. I mean, killing it, that I would not qualify that as killing it. They got Isaiah Thomas back in return. He never did anything for you. That was a disaster last year. Clearly still banged up. You had to trade him right away. And on top of it, resetting the franchise with the young players, you got Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, Ante Zizic, and a first rounder, which turned out to be Colin Sexton. I mean, Colin Sexton wasn't first-team all-rookie. He's fine, but I don't know if you would say he was great. So they got Colin Sexton and Ante Zizic and a second-round pick in 2020. Is that killing it in the Kyrie trade? That doesn't feel like killing it. Like, killing it is what Danny Ainge did to the Brooklyn Nets. Killing it is even Danny Ainge trading his first-round pick at number 3 for the Sixers to take Markelle Fultz and then getting Jason Tatum and a first-rounder. That's kind of the killing it. That's where killing it is. Ante Zizic and Colin Sexton not killing it. That's not really a killing it qualifier. But also Dan Gilbert spoke about the LeBron James, the pressure of having LeBron James. And he said, with LeBron, there's a limited shelf life in terms of his age and his contract commitment. It's a win now at all costs. It all revolves around the Sun, which is him. Whatever pressure comes with it, it worked out. We won a title. You know, I think that Dan Gilbert clearly has resentment towards how much control LeBron James had over that franchise, because LeBron James was far more powerful and far more popular than Dan Gilbert was. Well, at least far more popular than Dan Gilbert was. So Gilbert had to acquiesce to all the things that LeBron wanted. And LeBron absolutely dictated all of the decisions within that front office, the coaching staff, the rosters for those 4 years. But Dan Gilbert should be a little bit more grateful about those 4 years, because it's probable, not possible, it's probable he never sees his Cavaliers in the NBA Finals again. It's probable. It's probable that during his ownership, he will have gone to 5 NBA Finals and won a title, all with LeBron,
and never go back without LeBron. It's probable. I won't say it's impossible to go back because you never know. But it's hard to get to the NBA Finals, and LeBron made it look easy, and you went four straight times and five overall. I think for Dan Gilbert, who has always been bitter about the way that LeBron left the first time and how much power he had the second time, he's never going to, because he's too ego-driven, he's never going to completely be okay with the amount of influence LeBron had, even though he totally should be, because clearly he's not smart enough to build a team without LeBron. When we come back, Chris Curtis and Sarah Kaufman, winners in week one of the PFL Pro Fight League. They'll join us in studio. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
DA, first of all, I want to start off by saying, man, I think you're one of the best sports talk radio hosts in America.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Aw, thanks. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can watch us at watchda.com, available anywhere on any device. Watchda.com is where you need to be. On your tablet, on your phone, on your PC, on your anything, any device, anywhere, watchda.com. And Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, John Rahm all lead the charge as Justin Rose defends his title. The Charles Schwab Challenge this weekend on CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
Glad that you guys are with us here on the DA show this morning. Coming up here on the show, we've got your best audio of the day. And apparently Adam Gase has already said questionable things at Jets OTA. So that's exciting as well, which I'm sure we'll discuss. Because what would be a day without Jets drama surrounding Adam Gase and company? But before we do that, how about the PFL? We have talked about this wonderful league before, the Professional Fighters League, which has wrapped up week number one, and we are going into week number two, and we have two of the winners from week number one. It's a season-long Professional Fighters League, which ends up with playoffs and $1 million payday at the end. From the Professional Fighters League, we have winners from week one, Chris Curtis and Sarah Kaufman. Guys, good morning. How we doing?
Morning. What's up?
What's up? What's up? Now, Chris, you've got a hoodie which kind of looks like a Raiders hoodie, but says Syndicate, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, I believe John just jacked the logo at some point.
So okay.
Watch out for copyright infringement.
I was wondering if you're actually a Raiders fan or just got a logo that looks like the Raiders.
I just got to Vegas, so apparently everything in Vegas is like Raider heavy right now. So uh-huh. I'm going to say yes because I got to go back home and I'm not going to hear about it. So yes, I am as of now.
Right now you are.
You know what? I just got there. Everything in Vegas. They're not even playing there yet, and everything is Raiders, Raiders, Raiders. So I guess I'm a Raiders fan now.
So are you saying that if they go 2-14, you're not going to be a Raiders fan?
Dude, I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay.
All right. Like, we have the Bengals. Like, I can sail on a sinking ship. It's no problem. Like, it's.
And you have now the allowance to bail on a sinking ship like the Bengals, because nobody should be forced to do that for their entire life.
Dude, my best friend growing up, his parents were longtime Bengals fans. Talk about just diehard fans. I remember, like, they're like 3-whatever seasons, and they were at every game. And I'm like, why do you do this?
Yeah, so
like,
boy.
Ohio, man, we're used to heartbreak. It's fine.
Yeah, that is sadomasochism right there.
Yeah,
if you go to every Bengals game for years.
They believed.
Sarah Kaufman joins us here as well. And Sarah, you're from British Columbia, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a
Canadian. Best place.
The best place. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Beautiful British Columbia.
Vancouver is gorgeous. British Columbia is gorgeous. Just wonderful, that part of the country. We were talking about Drake earlier because he's become very annoying with the Toronto Raptors. Do you find Drake annoying, or because he's Canadian that you have to embrace him?
No, I find him annoying.
Okay, good.
But that's not because from anything in particular. I just don't really like his music.
Oh.
So
just his music makes him annoying.
I don't know anything else about him.
Okay, he's just
Degrassi, man.
There's Degrassi. But
I haven't seen it.
He's also kind of a super fan of the Toronto Raptors.
I have heard that. Yeah. I mean, when the Raptors were playing the other day, I was at somewhere and they were watching it. Yeah. And they were saying that Drake is at every single game.
Exactly.
You're Canadian and you've never seen Degrassi.
I have not.
Degrassi High was kind of like, would you say like a Saved by the Bell for Canada or 90210? Kind of a little bit of both.
Yeah, it was like, it was a Saved by the Bell of Canada. Like, you know, it was a preteen 90210 Saved by the Bell thing. And it was, I've seen, I don't even have cable and I've seen Degrassi.
I watched a lot of Disney, that's all.
Now, we had somebody mention that if you're from Vancouver or British Columbia, you might automatically hate Toronto because they're like the big city. Do you automatically kind of resent Toronto because of where you're from?
I don't at all. No. Okay. I mean, I'm from Victoria, more like the nicer.
Yeah, that's
of, you know, like Vancouver wants to be kind of like Toronto, and they have a rivalry with all the acting and what each city gets. But Victoria is like the lovely city on the island where everyone wants to live and no one else does. So it's great.
Yeah, Victoria is kind of like staying out of the fracas, right? They're just kind of like, hey, we're good where we are.
Right. We're like, don't build a bridge because we don't want Vancouver coming over to Victoria.
Yes, I had to take a ferry over to Victoria.
Is it a very polite rivalry? Like, don't build a very bridge, polite, please. Like, yeah, I
can't. Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Isn't Nelly Furtado from Victoria?
She is.
Oh, yes. Boy, you sighed there like, oh, God, you're asking me this too?
I didn't really like her music either.
Well, what music do you like, Sarah?
Disney.
Okay, so.
Yeah, we covered this in the car. In the long car right here, we covered this, actually. It was great.
So what, the theme song from Frozen?
I mean, Frozen's okay. We actually discussed.
The best Disney songs.
The best Disney songs.
Okay, good. You had the conversation before you came here.
Yeah, actually on the way here. Yeah.
From Mulan.
It's Mulan, Make a Man Out of You.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the best Disney song that's ever
been. It's amazing.
It's the best song.
Okay. Okay, that's the number one. Did we decide on a number two?
It varies. Like, for me, it's Beauty and the Beast, Gaston.
Okay.
Like, yeah, it's because it's my theme song in life. You know, Gaston was the manliest man. Yeah, dude, Gaston was the great. Yeah, he was it's my theme song.
I did not know that was your theme song. Do you play that before fights?
You just walk out with an egg. I was a boy, I ate 4 dozen eggs to ensure that my body grew large. Now I'm a man. I need 5 dozen eggs,
and I'm roughly the size of a barge.
Wow. Wow. That's excellent.
It's the song of a man. I'm like, all right. I was a kid growing up watching that. Like, yeah, everybody's like, Beast. I'm like, bro, I want to be Gaston. Like, everybody loves Gaston. He's the guy. So
that is awesome.
That explains a lot.
That is great. Chris Curtis and Sarah Kaufman join us here from the Pro Professional Fighters League. Okay, so what? Where's Lion King factor into
this? Oh, I love
Top
Lion
five.
King.
Top five,
top
for sure.
Five, right?
Top five for
love
sure.
Lion King.
Okay.
Moana is like, it's like a really good throwback almost to a classic. Like, you know, like the Aladdin. We started because Aladdin comes out, you know, tomorrow. So
but you'll have to go watch that, right?
I will be watching it. And
are
then
you
Lion King comes out
excited about
later.
A live action
I mean,
Aladdin?
I think so.
I'll stomach it. I watch Jungle Book. I'm
yeah.
Fine. I'm used to being
I'll
hurt.
I like it. It's going
to
be good.
I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm a Bengals guy. I'm used to being hurt.
So, Chris, you're saying you have not liked the recent installments of Star Wars?
Let's not talk about that. PFL, right.
A couple of them have been okay, but a couple of them have been
Force Awakens was great, and Rogue One was great. Everything else past that's been trash.
Okay, you didn't like Solo.
Solo was okay. Solo was passable. Like, it's not going to talk about Solo.
Yeah, right. The Last Jedi was trash.
That movie didn't happen.
That's exactly right. Nor did the prequels. Let me ask you this now. How is it possible, Sarah, that you grew up around Disney, watching Disney, the only music you liked was Disney, and then you became a fighter? I would think that there would be kind of a softer side to you that you would not want to smash people's faces in.
Well, I mean, maybe that's just the juxtaposition that works so well.
Yeah.
You know, I started out as a dancer, which makes sense based on the love of Disney and songs and singing.
Yeah.
And then I started training at my gym, Zumba, because it was convenient. It was like below my dance studio. It seemed like, oh, kickboxing, women's kickboxing. That sounds fun. Great way to get in shape. I realized I loved hitting things. And that kind of transformed into, well, maybe I should try sparring because then I'm not just hitting pads and it has a purpose. And then that transformed into, well, maybe I should spar with people I don't know, which was like a tournament setting. And then I had the option of having an MMA fight because someone I competed with in grappling was like, I'm looking for someone to fight. And I'm like, well, give them my name. Why not?
Yeah.
And so it just ended up. And then I went from, you know, my first fight on a reserve where I don't think it was technically legal to now, you know, fighting for the PFL and potentially $1 million come the end of 2019. So it's quite the journey that it's taken, but I love it.
Yeah, I would say.
First fight, they throw a glass bottle, like a broken bottle.
Our back window got smashed by a rock as we were leaving.
No way.
Oh, yeah. We were like rushing to leave because all of a sudden there was like a mob of people being like, get away.
Where was this?
Vancouver.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's way rougher than I would have thought in the streets of Vancouver.
Well, it was on one of the reserves because it was allowed on the reserves, but not in the city.
Oh,
and
I
so,
see.
Yeah, it turned into quite the scene post fight.
Yes, I would say so. Man, okay, that's really interesting. Chris Curtis and Sarah Kaufman, both winners from week number one of the Professional Fighters League, heading into week number two. Now, which is really cool about the PFL is that you can watch it on ESPN2, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes as well. They got really good television coverage deals and digital coverage deals as well. And coming up, tour dates and tickets are available at PFLMMA.com. And PFL 2 tonight at Nassau Coliseum on Long Island. So you guys got the wins in week one. Chris, how important is that when you are talking about a regular season that, you know, extends quite a bit, but you have to stack some regular season wins before the playoffs?
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit different because, you know, normally you win a fight and you're done, on to the next one or whatever. But now, you know, we're fighting for rankings and placements that actually mean something. And they're not arbitrary rankings like, oh, you're number two now. Like, no. Winning a fight gets you points. Finishing the fight gets you points, and those points determine your playoff standing. So, like now, you know the win is great. Get paid your purse, everything, but now you've got to worry about, you know, where's my seating going to be for the playoffs. So yeah, get the regular season, get as stack as many as you can. And, you know, it's an added factor, but I mean, nothing's greater than actually knowing where you stand as opposed to people being like, "Eh, you could be number three today." Like,
yeah,
I get to see when I'm done where I am, and that's a great feeling. Like, okay, like I'm this guy, I got this guy to beat. So
yeah,
it's a great feeling.
Sarah, how much more refreshing is it to have that scoreboard so that you know exactly where you stand and who you got to beat?
In 13 years of fighting, I have never known where I stand. Even when I've held a title and should be number one in the world, that doesn't always actually matter.
Yeah.
And in the PFL, it matters. And so to have the current, you know, number one standing in my division feels great, you know, 6 points. It puts me in a really good position going into the second round of fights that, you know, like I want to win the fight. And if I win with any kind of finish, I'm guaranteed number one seeding. And that's a really huge thing going into, for the women, the semifinals. I mean, the men have the quarters and the semis. But for the women, going from 8 to 4 is a big cut. And to step out early and be in a position as a front runner to fight kind of the number four seed, again, puts me in that great spot for the semifinals, which leads into that finals and ultimately the $1 million, which is what, you know, both Chris and I want. And everyone who's part of one of the 6 PFL divisions, that's what we're all gunning for, is to make it to those finals.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting to know where you stand.
I could only imagine. For tour dates and tickets, go to PFLMMA.com. It's mixed martial arts, and it is awesome because, again, it is a regular season that ends in a postseason, then $1 million payday at the end of the year on New Year's Eve. And so you can follow this entire league all season long on the ESPN platform of channels, and they're already at it. Week number two is coming up tonight, Nassau Coliseum. Chris Curtis and Sarah Kaufman joining us this morning on the show and studio. Guys, this was a lot of fun. Thanks so much. On your way back to the hotel, keep singing those Disney songs.
Dude, you're lucky I'm not singing them right now, honestly.
You got one more for us?
Dude, I've got a lot more. They're like, all right, stop singing, so I won't torture
one,
you guys.
Give us one
too
more
much
here, Chris. Give
what
us one
do you
more
want to do? What,
give
oh,
us one more.
I mean, there's so many good ones. I mean, I'm a fan of The Little Mermaid.
I don't know which one. Under the Sea?
I mean, Under the Sea's okay. I don't know.
You know Moana?
I don't know the lyrics that.
I see what's happening here.
I don't know the lyrics that well.
You're face to face with greatness, and it's strange.
You want
to
give us Frozen on the way out?
You don't even know how you feel. You know,
I don't know that one that well either.
Oh,
I'm really disappointed
now
in myself.
You guys are clamming up here.
I'm not clamming up. I've
got
Chris, just give us your best 20 seconds of a Disney song as we go out to the commercial.
All right, give me like 2 seconds to pick one.
Okay.
We're
go through the
go
mental Rolodex.
With
Hakuna Matata.
Dude, no. Let's give him a Mulan.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay.
All right. Let's get down to business to defeat
the Huns. Why did they send me daughters when I asked for sons?
You're the saddest bunch I ever met. And you haven't got a clue.
How could I make a man out of you?
Well done. Later on tonight, these two will be smashing faces in as part of PFL week number two.
It's new on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The DA Show is available so many different ways. If you want to listen to our wonderful CBS Sports Radio affiliates, you can do so across the great CBS Sports Radio network. Also, Sirius XM, Channel 206. You can also check us out using the CBS Sports app, Radio.com app, or Apple Music on your phones. Radio.com is a really good app to use for all of the sports radio stations that you need in your life and also other unique sports content, Radio.com. And then also watch us at WatchDA.com. Coming up next hour, I am interested to delve into, probably more interested than most, about this Minnesota college football team that was so dominant and so good over the last decade that got kicked out of their conference. Not for being so bad, not for scandal or controversy, not for realignment, but because they were so good and so dominant, the league said, yeah, you're not welcome here anymore. We're done getting our tails kicked. So that's coming up next hour on the show. Plus, we'll discuss whether the NFL Combine could work in prime time. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Arthur tweets, please tell Sarah Kaufman from the Pro Fighters League that she has a new fan just based on the fact that she finds Drake's music annoying. To me, Drake's music is fine. I can see why it's a hit. It's very of the moment, the kind of meld of hip-hop and R&B, and I understand why it's popular, but I'm just bothered that Drake gets away with murder because he's popular.
The Drake broke up.
Nobody else, no other super fan in any other sport is allowed to put their hands on a coach. Not allowed. Not okay. But Drake is, because Drake is supposed to symbolize coolness for a league that likes to be cool. Let's face it, the NBA enjoys being at the epicenter of what's cool in America. So they let Drake get away with the murder. Specifically, the Raptors do. The Raptors like the fact that they're relevant in that city, and they want relevancy nationally, internationally. Drake gives them that. Wow, we have a celebrity crossover personality that loves us, carries the flag for us. This is great. We can let him do anything. Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody that you thought was totally out of your league? You're like, how did I land this one? Wow.
How could it happen?
You're like, this is amazing. She's so much hotter than I am. Or, this guy is so much more handsome than I am. And then because of it, you let them get away with murder? You're like, yeah, all right. I mean, it's obvious you're cheating on me, but all right, that's okay. I mean, I know you're awful to me, but, well, we can look past you. You want to go out for dinner? All right. I mean, I know you're, like, super, super crazy, but I'll overlook it this time. That's the Raptors' relationship with Drake. He is so far out of their league popularity-wise that they'll let him do anything. He's get the run of the mill. The Raptors are an NBA team, but they're not Drake famous. And they're like, wow, Drake likes us? We can let him do anything. He can even touch the coach. I mean, why not just throw him into the lion's pen at the Toronto Zoo? Let him just pet the lions. I'm sure that'll go great. Yeah, it's fine. Nobody else should be in between the bars. But Drake, you can go in there and feed him. They're almost ready for their gazelle. Go in there. Give them their gazelle haunches. And the NBA stands by because Drake is supposedly cool. Yeah, he's cool. He's bringing us cred. Get him out. You know what? Get him out. Like I said, some washed up has-been actor that has the money to be down on the floor is not allowed to touch Nick Nurse. Not. Sorry. I'm pretty sure Dan Aykroyd is from Toronto. He ain't touching Nick Nurse. No one's like, oh, yeah, old fat Dan Aykroyd. Wasn't he in Ghostbusters? Yeah, yeah. Give Nick Nurse a shoulder rub during the Eastern Conference Finals. No way. No way. No chance. Isn't Mike Myers from Toronto somewhere in Ontario? There's no way they let Mike Myers, who hasn't made any film, I don't think, in 10 to 12 years, the Love Doctor, the Love Guru, Nine.
Austin Powers.
Yeah, when was the last Austin Powers? 05, 03?
Yeah, good point. He, it looks like, okay, yeah, Austin, I think the last Austin Powers was the last movie he had. And he's also good friends with Doug Gilmore, big Maple Leafs fan, so he might be out in the Maple Leafs
I think
games.
The Love Guru is after that. But either way, there's no way Mike Myers is allowed to rub Nick Nurse during the game. There's no way. But they let Drake get away with this stuff.
The Drake broke up. That's fantastic.
I hate it. I hate the Drake.
Boy, I'm really starting to dislike the Drake.
Hate the Drake.
Hate the Drake.
Hate the Drake.
It's time for your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Juju Smith-Schuster, the anti-Antonio Brown, when discussing his goals for the season.
I'm looking at my own team and how we do and how we win. I'm fine. I would take 5 catches for 30 yards and win the game, you know, and then have, you know, 10 catches, 2 touchdowns. You know, it's not really about, you know, myself at the end of the day. It's about, you know, getting the Super Bowl. Everyone gets paid more. You guys travel with us. Like, so everyone wins.
Well, somebody better tell Juju he needs to get his priorities in order, because the guy before him that was the number one target of the Steelers was all about personal goals, making sure he was the team MVP, got the most targets, had the most receptions, had the most yards, had the most touchdowns, Pro Bowl nods. That's the most important thing. Like, what Juju needs to learn is week 17, you guys need to win to get into the playoffs. You shouldn't play. You should quit at that point in time. Be very resentful of the other player's success. Make sure that you have no relationship with the quarterback. That's kind of the best thing. Then force your way to town and then never let it go. That would be the best way to approach this, Juju. Dak Prescott on negotiations.
When you look at numbers, I think a lot of it's about the market. So I don't really pay attention to any of that. I come in and I just prove myself each and every day to these other guys in this locker room. That's the only thing that I have to worry about. And I know if I'm doing that and getting better, good things happen. So that's out of my focus. As I said before, I've got a great team in place to handle that, and it'll get done eventually.
Yeah, I think it will get done eventually. I think that ultimately the Cowboys are kind of pushovers for Dak, and Jerry Jones loves himself a star player, loves himself a star quarterback. Dak is not quite star, but kind of star enough. And they've gone to the playoffs with him, and they've won a playoff game with him. So I think that he's going to get his contract. It would be silly to give him tons of money that hampers you from giving him supplemental pieces, because he's not good enough to carry a team on his own. He's not that type of quarterback. But is he going to get paid? Yeah, eventually he's going to get paid. He's going to remain with the Cowboys. I have no doubt about that. And finally, Gary Thorne, the voice of the Orioles on Masson, calls a couple of home runs by the Yankees' Gleyber Torres. Now, think about this. Gleyber Torres has torn up Orioles pitching so badly this year. He has 10 home runs this year against the Orioles.
Torres pumps that one in the air. That's to left center field. Wilgerson back. I don't know. Goodbye home run. You cannot imagine this happening in Major League Baseball or any other place in baseball. I mean, he is just unstoppable, and it's all home runs against the Orioles. In the air to right field, Mancini going back on the ball by Torres. Way back, up, and... I don't even know. Goodbye, home run. I mean...
I don't even know. Gary Thorner also offered one of our great drops of all time. When I asked him, because he's a Mainer, if he would prefer, I think, lobster bisque or seafood chowder.
Lobster roll or the clam roll.
Oh, lobster roll or the clam roll. That's
or
right.
Or lobster roll and the clam bisque. A clam chowder.
Lobster roll and the clam chowder?
And he said, I'm going to do a mix on
no,
the two.
No, no, no. You were right the first time. Lobster roll or clam roll. Fried clam roll. And then he said he's going to mix the two. A little lobster in the roll and then also a little clam in the roll.
Got it. Okay. I wasn't sure if there was such a thing as a clam roll first.
Yes, a clam roll can be delicious. It's little fried clam put in the same type of bun, a hot dog bun, if you will, just like a lobster roll.
I'm so hungry right now.
I'm going to mix on it. When we come back here on the show, is there an audience for the NFL Combine in prime time? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.